everybody. Monday morning. What's up? John DeBella Show Daily Podcast time. Dave here on this Monday, May 7th. How you doing? Glad you're checking it out. Today, we found out what states were Googling on Cinco de Mayo. We had a couple of mystery shows today to hand out tickets to. Unfortunately, we're sworn to secrecy over who they're for. You'll find out tomorrow. The first ones were handed out during Breakfast with the Beatles with a fun contest called Beatles Boggle. Then later in the show at 8:35, we'll be doing it every day this week. Dave's Beat Down. I got to be careful with that name. Our first idea got nixed. And as for content, well, we talked to Chris Epting, our musicologist buddy. He had a doobie to spark, a doobie's conversation to spark over their hit Blackwater. And it's Monday morning, so of course we rounded up the stupid folks out there making the news and thinned the herd. Hope you dig it. Here you go. It is the Daily Podcast.
Of course, Saturday we had the dog walk, and Saturday was also Cinco de Mayo. And normally, you know, when Cinco de Mayo falls on a weekday, we're celebrating, we do all kinds of stuff with it. Mm-hmm. Because it was on a Saturday, we didn't get to do all that much last week. But this morning I came in and I noticed, you know, it seems the new thing is anytime something happens, people will go, okay, here's what was looked up on Google, right, about that particular topic.
Right.
And when it came to Cinco de Mayo, believe it or not, of the 50 states, and they do it by states, okay. All right, what was the most, you know, question, you know, asked question in each state on Google in regards to a particular topic, and this one being Cinco de Mayo. 12 different states wanted to know what is Cinco de Mayo.
Okay. Now, that makes sense. North Dakota, probably not too up on it.
As a matter of fact, you know, Michigan, North Dakota up there, right. The one that I'm questioning is Texas. Well, Texas wanted to know what is Cinco de Mayo. Really?
Oh, there's a language barrier, John.
Really? All right. I mean, you know, a big question is, you know, things like where's the nearest Chipotle? Like in Philadelphia, Chipotle Cinco de Mayo was, or in Pennsylvania, Chipotle Cinco de Mayo was a big question. Yeah, Chipotle was a big question across the country.
You need a store locator.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Nevada, their big question about Cinco de Mayo was Trump Tower Grill. That was the most popular.
I don't understand that.
Me neither. Is there a betting element?
Nah, who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? But the ones that get me the most is this happened not only in Arizona, but it also happened in South Dakota, Nebraska, all right? And I guess that's Iowa. Yep. Big question, right, for the three of them, and especially for Arizona, mm-hmm. which borders Mexico.
Right.
They want to know, when is Cinco de Mayo?
Oh, no. Oh,
this is the question they were asking.
Right? We are idiots. We
on
really
Cinco
are.
De Mayo, they were asking, when is Cinco de Mayo? You missed it. It was on Cuatro de Mayo this year.
The John DeBella Podcast.
How does he do it? How the hell is he doing?
102.9 MGK.
As I said, for breakfast at the Beatles this morning, we're going to play with the Rock Island line. We're going to do a little countryfying kind of thing. Right? But most importantly, we're going to do something new called the Beatles Boggle. And we'll do this every day this week and give you opportunity at a pair of tickets that you would want, especially if you're a Beatles fan. But I can't tell you at this time. All right. It's weird, but I can't tell you. It seems that I could tell you after 10 o'clock this morning because for some some strange reason. Because you knowing about it 2 hours before they make the announcement is going to ruin all ticket sales.
It'll change everything.
Right. It's just absolutely like, you know, you can't buy the tickets until, I think, Friday. Right? Let me check that. Let me find out when you can
Beatles
find it.
Beatles show.
Yes. Yeah, no, I didn't say it was a Beatles show.
It's not.
No, I didn't say, no, I said if you're a Beatles fan, you would like this show.
Shows how much I listen when we're on the air.
Thank you very much. Don't feel bad about that because that's how much you listen in the office too. But
wow, shots fired early this
you
week.
You know what? I said it last week. Whatever. I don't care.
So if you're a Beatles fan, it's a show you'd be interested in and probably highly interested in, right? But I can't tell you what it is until tomorrow.
Is it a Lennon hologram show?
It is not a Lennon hologram show.
Lennon and Tupac together again.
That's what it is. All right.
Nice.
Nor is it the film of George Harrison tap dancing, okay?
The John DeBella Podcast.
My, he is tenacious, isn't he?
102.9.
Joe Mouthboy, zip it!
MGK.
Speaking of knowing things, you know who Ken Jeong is, the actor Ken Jeong?
I interviewed him.
Years ago,
in L.A.
Great guy.
Yes, very much
great
so.
Guy. The guy who played Mr. Chow in all of the Hangover movies.
Right.
All right? He had that series, Dr. Ken, where he was playing a doctor on
that
TV series. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that Ken Jeong in real life is a doctor.
Yeah, we found out about that in an interview.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, on a Friday night, speaking of Arizona, on Saturday night in Arizona, while he's on stage doing his stand-up act, a woman has a seizure in the audience.
Oh, wow.
He stops the show, goes to the woman, attends to her, clears the area, attends to her until the paramedics get there. Now, she wakes up in the middle of him attending to her, so you can imagine what that was like. It was like what the hell is going on? But I remember when he was on with us, we asked him about being a doctor and, you know, how all that came about, and I've got a little clip of that. So let me get this straight, all right? And so people understand this. You are a doctor who is playing an actor who's playing a doctor.
Well, I am a doctor who became an actor playing a doctor.
Okay. Now, what type of doctor are you?
Internal medicine.
So how did the transition from legitimate doctor to comic actor happen?
Well, that's a great question, because on paper it looks like I was a doctor and like had a midlife crisis and say, oh, let me just jump naked out of a trunk, you know? It's not happened.
But have you ever been in a situation where like an emergency happens, you are a doctor, you jump into the situation and everybody goes, wait a second, no, don't let Mr. Chow help him.
Yeah, I was in a plane and basically someone thought this guy was having a stroke, and the flight attendant was like, is there a doctor on the plane? And I say, well, I used to be a doctor, and she literally was like, sit down, Chow.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
And you know what? I said that we were going to have this Beatles boggle this morning for Breakfast of the Beatles, right? We're going to ask you a question, and we've got, if you're a Beatles fan, you're really going to want these tickets. Actually, most people would probably want these tickets, but I can't tell you what the tickets are until after 10 o'clock this morning, so we'll be gone, so I can't say anything about them until tomorrow. They do go on sale Friday, all right? Okay. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, I've got more tickets that we can't tell you about today, but we can tell you about tomorrow, and they do go on sale Friday.
But we have the tickets.
You can still win them. We also have Chris Epting checking in with us at 7 o'clock this morning, our author and musicologist friend. But right now, we are serving breakfast, being brought to you by Robbins DeBellaware Diamonds, serving self-serve ring cases, and absolutely no sales tax. That's Robbins DeBellaware Diamonds. We're starting off with a one after 909. We didn't get one after 909 until 1969, even though the band originally recorded it in 1963, the same day they recorded From Me to You. The song actually dates back to the Quarrymen days, but John and Paul were trying to write a bluesy sort of freight train song along the lines of Midnight Special, Freight Train, Rock Island Line, and One After 909 is what they came up with. Now, as I said, I have tickets to a show that I can't announce until tomorrow, but it would be of interest to any Beatles fan. So call me here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. Answer my Beatles boggle question correctly, and you will win a pair of tickets to the show that I can't tell you about until tomorrow. And right now, let's go to the phones for today's Beatles boggle and these tickets that I cannot name at this time. We've got Zach on the line. Good morning, Zach. How you doing?
Morning. How are you?
I am fine. Boy, you are Mr. Excitement, Zach. Right? Are you in church right now? Did your dog just die?
How'd you know?
No. Zach, I am going to ask you a question and then give you a chance at these tickets that I cannot name as of yet. Get it right, and the tickets are yours. You ready, Zach?
Hit me.
All right. Seeing that I started out with One After 909, name two songs that were done by either the Beatles or anyone in the Beatles that have the word nine in it. You got five more seconds.
Millennial here.
That means nothing.
And your time is up. All right, Dennis, name two songs by the Beatles or anyone in the Beatles that have the word nine in the title.
Well, there's Revolution Number 9.
Right.
And damn, I don't know.
Ernie, name two songs by the Beatles or anyone in the Beatles that has the word nine in it other than One After 909.
Number 9.
Right?
Oh, boy. Number 9, Dream.
Okay, there we go. Nice. All right, very good. Very good. Now, look, let me mute my microphone and I'll tell you what ticket you're getting, okay?
Sure. Oh, it's wonderful. Beautiful. So one I haven't seen, and this just made my day. That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Must be tough spanking your monkey.
Honey, you got real ugly.
102.9 MGK.
He's an author, he's a musicologist, he's the man who gave us If There's a Bustle in Your Hedgerow, 50 lyrical lines that helped define the 70s that you can find through Amazon.com. He's the one and only Chris Epting. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning to the one and only John DiBella. Thanks for having me, man.
You are always welcome here, you know that. As a matter of fact, I really should, let me play these chimes over here to get us in the right mood, because we're going to talk about the Doobie Brothers and Black Water. Which I questioned Tom Johnson about this song, because if it's supposed to be about the Mississippi, that's brown. That's not black. All right, I just want to clarify that.
Look, this song has a lot of poetic licenses taken, obviously, but the story behind it is really cool. I love stories about songs that are sort of accidental hit records, and this is probably the king of them. This the whole thing started when Pat Simmons was noodling around in the studio, and the Doobies producer, Ted Templeman, said, hey, you know what? That's the basis of a song. You should write that. So a year later, Pat's down in New Orleans, band's on tour, they have a day off, and he's doing laundry, takes a streetcar uptown, and gets inspired to write this little thing called Black Water. Now, here's the thing. It was a B-side of Another Park, Another Sunday. It was never intended to be a single. And even if you write the B-side, you still get the same royalty, right? Because it's a number of singles sold.
Right, okay.
So you wanted Black Water on there, which it was. Well, lo and behold, a little radio station in Roanoke, Virginia, situated near Blackwater River, flipped the single over and began playing Black Water as a tribute to the local river. It was like a little local secret they had. But fans went crazy over the song. And little by little, in 6 months, this thing exploded and became the Doobie Brothers' very first number one record. This is after Listen to the Music, after China Grove, after Long Train Running. Those were not number one records. This was the first one.
It is so hard to believe that all of those other songs, which have so much power, have so much energy, that a simple little, you know, boopity-doop kind of song came along, and this was their number one hit.
It's crazy. And there's something about it, though. You know, radio was so eclectic in the mid-70s that a song like this could find itself on top of the charts. I think it's a real testament to how great radio was in the mid-70s. Because it really is a strange, like you say, radio at that point was a lot of power pop, a lot of really hard-driving songs like the Doobies were creating. But this was the one that just captivated people. It was almost like the antithesis of all the other hit records.
Now, being a man who likes to pick out particular lines from songs, what does the rain have to do with this song? Why is Pat Simmons so caught up with the rain?
He told me that New Orleans, to him, has always been such a magical place because how the rain can move in so quickly, and you'll have this deluge, and then the sun is out a minute later, and there's something about the magic in the air. When a New Orleans rainstorm hits, it just brings out color, like, instantly. And he said, you know, he always carried his little pad around, and on the streetcar that day, the rainstorm inspired him to write the song.
Well, you know, the streetcar's coming by because the chimes are beginning to get even louder now. It is Black Water from the Doobie Brothers. He is Chris Epting, and we're Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
I got a couple of good ones. I don't know about you guys, but I got a couple of real doozies this morning. A 25-year-old guy named Xavier Moran from Royal Beach, Florida, had a car accident last week, and he had a great way to prove to the cops that it wasn't his fault. He had a dashboard camera that recorded everything. All right, so he signed a consent form to let the cops watch the dash cam footage and, you know, turned it right over to them. And on the upside, it did show that the accident wasn't his fault because the other driver cut him off.
Okay.
On the rather downside, his dash cam also had footage of him from earlier in the day using a baseball bat to smash through a plate glass front door of a beauty supply store and then stealing stuff from it. He's facing burglary charges.
In the herd.
What do you got, Steve?
All right, a guy named Alex Lovell from I'm assuming it's Camas, Washington. He lives with his girlfriend, Emily Javier, and they've been together for 2 years, which is nice.
Okay.
But Alex has been neglecting her sexual needs because he became obsessed with video games.
Okay.
Now, he says, and this is a quote, "It killed my sex drive. I was training too hard. It exhausted me."
He was training too hard.
Yes, he was training for his video games. "I felt bad because she needed the affection." Well, Emily had a different take. She was pretty sure that he was cheating on her. She found Tinder on his phone and red hair in their drain. She has green hair, so it's not natural.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What?
Her hair is dyed. It's dyed green. It's a word I left out. A few weeks ago, she went out and bought a samurai sword and then decided to stab him in his sleep. Oh, he survived, swears he didn't cheat, hasn't had Tinder on his phone since they got together. Emily is being held in jail on attempted murder charges.
In the herd.
Over to you, Dave.
All right. Daryl Campbell is my guy. He was stopped by cops in Port St. Lucie.
Porn
changes
Saint Lucie.
Everything. Yeah.
I got in Florida, I can believe there's a Porn St. Lucie also.
Yeah, pardon me. It is Florida. Anyway, he was stopped by cops and they determined he was impaired. But then things got interesting. Officers say they found Campbell jittery with bloodshot eyes and wearing nothing but a t-shirt and underwear. And on those undies, the word breathalyzer was printed on them, with the words "blow here" strategically placed on the front. As an added bonus, when asked to take a field sobriety test, Campbell laughed and said that he had gout. He also had condoms and binoculars in his vehicle.
Oh, God!
He was brought in for testing and further questioning.
In the herd.
Lastly this morning, a guy named Bernard Jackson recently got evicted from his house in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And when the cops tried to kick him out, it started a four-hour standoff. He claimed to be a sovereign citizen, meaning he's not governed by the laws of the United States, and he wouldn't come out. So a SWAT team was sent in to get him. Once they got inside, they smelled gasoline, and ooh, they tried to go upstairs. When they tried to go upstairs and arrest him, so he set the stairs on fire.
Wow.
His plan worked in the short term because they had to go back outside until the fire was out. But while he was burning the stairs, managed to get gas on his feet, right? And all of a sudden, his feet were on fire. They were burned so bad that he decided to surrender. He's facing charges for criminal trespassing, resisting arrest, plus a second-degree arson charge for his stupid stair fire idea.
In the herd.
We can broadcast something from the ship to drown out their link. Something
loud and distracting.
Loud and distracting? I've got just that thing.
The John DiBella Podcast. 102.9.
I love the power of radio.
MGK.
We're getting ready for something brand new called Dave's Beatdown, and basically it's drum beats. Just like we have isolated vocal tracks for the isolation booth.
Yep.
All right, one would think after saying isolated tracks, I would know isolation booth. But we have isolated drum tracks as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to test Dave, because Dave is really good at this. You know, he'll listen to the drum part of a song time and time again, and can identify drummers that like I couldn't do, no matter how much experience I might have had. So if we've just played you something simple like this, Dave, you know, obviously you'd be able to name what this song is.
Hopefully.
Do you really need?
Yeah.
Do you need more than that?
Man. No, man. Joey Kramer.
Yeah.
Walk
right.
This way.
Walk this way. Yep. That's simple. So what we're going to do, the very thing, it's just going to be the drum track, and then people can call in. And I can't tell them what the tickets are that they're winning.
Right.
All right. I can't tell them yet.
10 a.m. today.
I can tell them tomorrow, but I can't tell them this morning. But believe me, you want these tickets. Might have something to do with drumming. It's very possible. Hmm. One never knows. All right. But so I will play you a track, and they have to, before we even play it for you, they have to determine whether or not you're going to get it right or wrong.
Aha.
All right. So if they say you're going to get it wrong and you get it wrong, they win.
Got it.
If they say you're going to get it right and you get it right, they win. Right. If they say you're going to get it wrong and you get it right, they lose and we move on to another caller.
All right.
All right. So 215-263-WMGK, the number to call. We're getting ready for Dave's Beatdown. Joining us now, first up, is Cassie. Good morning, Cassie. How you doing?
Good. Good morning.
All right. Now, Cassie, you understand what we're going to do for Dave. We're going to play him an isolated drum track, and he's got to identify the song and the drummer. Once he has the song, of course, he'll know the drummer. What do you think? Will he get it right or will he get it wrong?
I think he's going to get it wrong.
You think he's going to get it wrong. Okay. All right. Well, then, Dave, are you ready?
I am ready to show Cassie
okay. What
a huge mistake she just made.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I'm going to play you the track, and you tell me what song this is.
Oh. Yep.
You know it?
Yeah. Right, I knew it from the second that he was pounding out those
really
eighth notes in the start of it.
You really? Yes. You knew it from the very beginning? From the absolute start? You're telling me that you can identify this. All right.
Yeah. It's a giveaway.
All right. So Cassie thinks you're going to be wrong. Tell me what song that is.
From the second I heard that boxy snare, I knew it was Stuart Copeland from The Police, Message in a Bottle. Come on, Cassie.
That is it. Oh,
oh my God.
You got to believe.
Okay. All right. You're out. That moves us on over to Jim. Jim, what do you think now? All right.
I think Dave is going to get it right.
You think Dave is going to get it right. I got to give you a different song now, Dave. You ready for
let's
it?
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. Here comes your next song, your next isolated track for Dave's downbeat, beat down.
Oh, Tom Sawyer, Rush.
Tom Sawyer, Rush, right? Jim?
Wow.
Jim, yeah. I have to tell you, the man is right.
Yeah.
There you go, Jim. Right. Two times in a row, the man is right. You've got tickets to the unnamed concert, but you, dude, are going to be so happy that you have these tickets. The announcement comes down later on this morning. We'll be able to tell everybody tomorrow morning, but you want to be there. We're talking about a show in October, so don't worry about it. You got some time, but you've got those tickets.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Somebody's got to say, I want my money back. That's all. I want my money back.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
I want to think of things. I want to use my imagination when I'm sitting there with my ass on a pillow.
102.9.
Namaste.
MGK.